We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks from KCSN, which features three shows each week in Border War, hosted by former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins and Mizzou forward Jarrett Sutton. Ain't No Seats with Ryan Reinhart, Anthony Bax, and Braden Turner. And Booth Review, covering Jayhawks football with Kent Swanson and weekly special guests. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. Stay up to date on all things KU with KCSN. And now, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks.
All right, when was the last time you went into a bank? Now, more than ever, who you are banking with is more important than where you are banking. Emprise Bank has been with us since the beginning at KCSN. They're our partner in Possible. They're member FDIC. We love Emprise Bank here. Go give them a look. Go use Emprise Bank. We can't have better things to say about them, and we appreciate them being our title sponsor as always. But we got to get into a new episode, boys. Man, I don't even know where to start with last night's game. It was just a nonstop nail biter. One of those games where I'm standing in front of the TV at the end of the game. Just a game you really want to win. You could feel the hatred in the building. I mean, K-State fans always bring it for that game, and it makes it fun the way they bring the hatred and just how crazy that building gets. But it also makes you want to win that much more. And I mean, God, this team, we played so dang hard. Talk more about that. Didn't hit a lot of shots, but to still have the ball with a chance to win late in that game, I think you can be fairly okay with that. I don't think anyone's melting down, but tough loss, obviously. But B-Turn, just give me some of your initial thoughts from last night's game.
Yeah, no reason to melt down at all. Obviously, this team's still really good. That's a good team, well-coached team, really good atmosphere. They led most of the game. I think we led early, like 6-3 or something, and then felt like we had a chance to maybe separate there for a little bit where K-State couldn't score for 3 or 4 minutes, and then we couldn't buy a bucket. Grady was cold from deep. Obviously, Jay Will was unbelievable. 38, could have had 41. We'll talk about the Bill Self timeout, but overtime was wild. The offense couldn't get into any rhythm, any flow. They looked stagnant. They looked lost. So we'll have to talk about that. Obviously, they were missing three starters, which I thought KJ and Grady's fouls to foul them out were kind of sketchy to me. Like, it felt like those were soft calls in a tight game late. I don't know. We'll talk about the officials too in overtime, but the flow was definitely taken away from a really good game in overtime on both ends of the floor. But yeah, no, there's no negatives really to take away from this game. Our best scorer had 38, and they almost found a way to win without three starters.
Yeah. AB, before we really get into it, because I got a topic I want us to start on, but just didn't know if you had some instant quick reactions to get off the top of your head.
No, it's a lot of the same you guys were saying. Mostly, like, as much as it sucks to lose to a rival like that with all the shit talking going on and, you know, people from K-State, so it's a little personal. I'm about as positive as you can be after a loss. Like, other than Jalen, I don't know if – and KJ. KJ's awesome as always, but the three starters that – are not that fouled out, but DeJuan struggled. Grady was trying to do too much and couldn't shoot last night. And I've never seen someone struggle like Kevin McCullough struggled.
He will never play worse ever again. Right. And he will never play worse than that.
I don't know if DeJuan will play worse than he played last night. I don't know if Grady will at least shoot as bad as he did last night.
I have that exact note written down.
Right. So it's like you combine all those things and you still, at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime, you have the ball with a chance to win the game. On Monday will be a top 10 team, your biggest rival, probably the toughest environment you're going to play in all year. Like, you can't win every game. The fact that it was that close, I come away with a lot of positives.
So I wrote down four things, or, you know, similar to what you just said, but obviously DeJuan, the assist numbers were there. He did a good job there, but like, I don't know if we're going to see a game where DeJuan is that careless with the ball at times as he was last night. I don't, you know, he had an off game.
Was Grady, he concussed?
Who knows? I mean, that looked very painful. Straight face to the ground. I couldn't believe when he came back to the game. But Grady goes 1 of 7 from 3? 1 of 8? I mean, just brutal. Couldn't buy anything. As we've said, Kevin McCullough will not play a game where, I mean, he looked like those free throws he shot looked
short.
Like he was mentally, like it was in his head at how bad he was playing. I felt bad for him. But it's like, he's not going to play that bad again all year. And the one thing you didn't say, AB, that I wanted to include, Bill Self didn't coach his best game in the final. It's the first time in, I would say, almost 2 seasons that Bill Self just wasn't by far the best coach in the final minutes. And the Jalen shot everyone's going to talk about. And, I mean, if you watch the replay, I think Clements or I can't remember who had the ball, Zubi or Clements – is about to, like, it's him and Joe on this side of the floor, and Bill immediately sees that, and he's like, hold on, timeout. Then the ball gets passed, then they call the timeout, Jalen hits it. Like, it wasn't that, I mean, you can laugh about it, but it wasn't a horrible decision by Bill. It just sucks that Jalen made the shot. Where we can question Bill, and I think Bill called himself out on it, is we've got the opportunity to win the game 2 times with the ball, with a guy that has 38 points. Not only do we not get any shots up, we don't even get him a touch on either possession. And really, DeJuan, the ball really truly never goes from DeJuan to anyone else on either play. Like, that's what's so – to me, the loss sucks. But if you take all those things we just mentioned, McCullough, Grady, DeJuan, and Bill, those are 4 things that are just not going to happen very often. To have those 4 guys just not be at their best. So – I loved what you said, AB, because out of all the ways to lose to K-State, as much as it stings to lose to K-State, we love making fun of them. We love, you know, we dominate them. It sucks to lose to them. I can't think of a more positive way to lose to them than the way we did last night. So,
well, and the other thing too, sorry to cut you off, but, and this is just on top of the Bill thing. I think you were the one that quoted it or retweeted it, Rye, but I saw a tweet that was, we had won 15 games in a row that were decided by single digits.
Yeah.
So you can't win ever. That's just an insane stat. You're just due to lose one.
And it's actually concerning because you're not just due to lose one. You're due to lose
about 7.
Yeah. You'd lose like 3 to 4.
But you know, that's why I'm not too worried about it. I think if we'll blow K-State out at Allen, and we'll probably beat them pretty handily in KC if we play them. And the other thing that's probably not going to happen again, the sixth man for K-State, Desi Sills, he ain't having the game of his life back-to-back times. So, like, all, shouts to him. Teammates with my cousin in high school. good dude. But I just, you know, he played the game of his life. He was awesome.
Yeah. And you got to give K-State credit, too, to finding a way to win without one of their best players really doing anything. Marquise Noel didn't do much. But, yeah, Rye, that's a great way to look at the game, those 4 points. I don't even know which one to start with, but the offense, obviously, like you said, when Bill called that timeout, and that's what I was saying earlier, is they just looked lost. They weren't in a flow. They weren't running sets. They had their backups in there, and that possession was going nowhere. So I didn't mind the Bill timeout. It was obviously terrible timing. I think we're all smart enough to know that. Like, it was a good timeout. Jalen hits the three. They all were laughing. Jalen was laughing. Bill was laughing, but I think it was a good timeout because they weren't going anywhere. So let Bill draw something up. We know how good he is at that. DeJuan, basically they score 24 seconds left. DeJuan basically dribbles out the clock. Like,
yeah.
And you have to go quick there too. There's 1 second left. We're down 1. So you got to go a little quick, get a shot up, not go super quick, obviously run something. You got to get a shot up, give yourself a chance to foul. They were just dribbling out. It was so slow. They were so slow getting into their sets. Even the one at the end of the game where DeJuan threw it away and Keontae stole it, where they were trying to get it to Zubi and then probably get it to Jalen. They went with like 7 or 8 seconds left. So he started throwing it to Zubi.
Wasn't Bill sitting there telling DeJuan? Like, I felt like you could see Bill on the sideline saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. And then he was like, right. No.
Well, at and that so, point, half our team was fouled out. So it's like either take the loss or you try to go for the win. Not that, you know, I don't know what the Vegas live line was at that point, but like underdogs will always go for the win rather than try and extend the game. I feel like if they have the chance to, that probably was his thought. Let's just see if Jalen or DeJuan or someone can get 2 points with 2 seconds left and then we win.
So my initial reaction on the first play, and I want to talk about the second play, but the first play, my initial reaction was, how in the world do you let the ball touch Zubi's hands on the final possession in this basketball game? But you watch the replay and K-State blew up the play. They had it defended well. That's a play we run all the time to get Jalen going to his right hand and going downhill. Like, if Zubi catches that ball and we swing it, I'm pretty convinced Jalen gets that ball and either scores or gets fouled. But at the same time, it's like, how concerning is it that we are at a point where if KJ Adams fouls out at the end of a game, that I'm not sure we can trust either of our backup bigs to be the guy that makes that pass and makes that catch. And I don't know who's – I think it was mostly DeJuan's fault. Is that what we're thinking on that turnover for that ball not getting to Zubi, or could Zubi have handled that and swung through? I don't know.
But no, I think that's why it was kind of shocking that DeJuan threw that pass, because Keontae was – in the passing lane, and we're kind of lucky the game didn't end there. It wasn't a foul on Zubi at all, but Keontae, it was kind of like an uncoordinated play by Keontae, who was great all night. But yeah, like I was saying, he threw the ball to Zubi with like 6 or 7 seconds left. Like, Jalen would have got it with what, 3 or 2 seconds left, and then no time to even create, or he probably would have had to take in a deep three, which that's kind of what I was saying last night. It's kind of like the Jason Bean thing against Arkansas is – you live or die with your best player. If Jalen misses a shot there down one at the end of overtime, we're living with it. But now we have to look back and be mad that he didn't even get a touch or get a pass his way on both possessions. Like, not even getting a shot up just kills. Because
So we know what play we were trying to run on that first one, but what were we trying to do on the second one? Like, Jalen starts the play standing in the corner. So, I mean, I don't know if that was some sort of, but he ends up in the middle of the key. Like, he's there to be there for a rebound. I just have no idea what we were even running on that final play of the game, where DeJuan just essentially dribbles to the corner and loses the ball. Like, that was, to me, more frustrating, because the first one, we knew what we were going to run. We run that play all the time and it works a lot for Jay. Yeah. The second one, I'm not quite sure. And so if someone knows, correct me, tweet at us, let me know what action we were trying to do to get Jalen the ball. Cause I got to imagine somehow that ball was supposed to go to Jalen.
That's what, both possessions were out of timeouts too, which is super frustrating. I mean, the first one I think was a review where it was out on K-State. They went to review. So it was basically out of a timeout. So Bill's drawing something up and it felt like they can't even get into the sets because the backups were in. So I personally, at the end of regulation, I know we trust DeJuan. He's great. He always makes the right decisions, but I didn't think we had the personnel in. I thought we should have just inbounded it to Jay Will. Dude, 38 points. He dribbles, pulls up from three, or the whole – think about it. Joe, Bobby, was it Clements? Clements. Jay Will has the ball. They're all collapsing there, and someone's going to be wide open, or he takes the shot and we live with it. But
no, he would have taken the shot. I can assure you that.
Yeah, and
I mean, that's Jalen, what that's
Jalen misses a long three from 25 feet, hits the rim, whatever, and we lose. We're like, oh, that's fine. Well, three starters fouled out. Jalen had 38.
We would be mad that Jalen took a 25 footer, by the way. We would still complain about that, but I'm with you. Like, let the decision go to Jalen. Like, if that means him getting the ball at the top, inbounding it to him. And even if you want to come set like a high ball screen with Zubi or Clements or something to let Jalen just try and get something going, like, this may sound insane, but like, I wouldn't even have hated a pick and pop with Zach Clements. Like, I know how absurd that sounds, but if you have Zach Clements set a ball screen up top and Jalen goes right, they're going with Jalen. Like, can you imagine that game coming down to a Clements three? And so we sound like idiots. We sound like we're questioning Bill Self. As we've said, Bill was due to not coach a perfect game late in the final minutes. But it is more of something where I'm, like, curious in the future, because KJ Adams is going to foul out of more games. He's going to foul out in close games. And so it's like, either we've got to get to a point where we can trust the guys, the reserves on the court, to run the right action. Because that's the other part of it, is those guys just probably aren't running as smooth of offense as our starters. Or we've got to find a different, you know, go-to look late in games for Jalen to help him get a shot up. But I don't know.
Obviously, I've got a take on the play calling. We haven't talked about it yet, and I think it might be the one that pissed me off the most. It was right after KJ fouled out, and there's a minute and a half left, tie game. We get the ball.
Yeah.
And they just – and obviously they were playing mismatches all night because K-State wasn't afraid to have a guard down low and just try and rip at it. When they went to Clements with a minute and a half left – immediately, like, fresh into the game. It might have been his first minutes of the game. I can't explain to you the reaction I had to it. The end of the game stuff was whatever. Like, it's annoying, but I was kind of just ready for the game to be over at that point, one way or another. And then, but the Clements one, it's like, it felt like we were kind of gaining control of that game in the final 3 minutes. And there were a few things that we did to kind of throw us off and allow K-State to tie it up and go into overtime. But that one to me was just like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, what are we doing?
That was Duan. That was Duan, too.
I know. Like, and it's not like, I don't even blame him, because, like, the game plan was clearly, if there's a mismatch, if you have a guard on a big, throw it down to the big. And
it's one of those situations where, like, I don't know. I think everyone, every KU fan watching that, when that ball is in the air, like, it's slow motion going to Clements, we're like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. But Marquise Noel's fronting him in the post, a little 5'9", 10 guard. And that's what, like Ryan asked earlier, can you trust our backup bigs? There's no way in hell you can. Nope. You can't trust Zuby and you can't trust Clements. And I was saying that last night, like, I wish they could just come in, set screens, get rebounds, make easy layups, like, just do simple things to give KJ a little rest. But we all, that's what's sad, is we had high hopes for Clements. He gave us good minutes last year, and we had high hopes for him this year. But you can't throw it to him in the post against a little 6-foot guard, and he can't even go up and get a shot. He got it ripped. He brought the ball immediately down. So, yeah, super frustrating. And it's tough to get mad at Duan at the same time, too, because, like we said, there was a guard on him. And Bill preaches feeding the post.
There's one thing I'd like to see, just while we're on this topic before we get off of it. If McCullough wasn't fouled out at that point, do you think they just go five guards?
That's what, like, I was going to say.
Like, I don't know if we, like, that game, we're not going to have three starters foul out. Probably again this year. If we do, we're fucked. But that's, like, clearly an outlier situation. And I just feel like if all the guards were, like, not in foul trouble or out of the game already or just playing well, Jalen's tall enough to act like a big, Grady's tall enough to act like a big, McCullough's big enough to act like a big. Like, I just think they'll just adjust and play a different style rather than trust one of the freshman bigs or Zach Clements, who just looks overmatched.
Yeah, because if you have McCullough playing the five there and he's the one getting that ball at the top of the key, swinging it to Jalen for him to go downhill and try and score, I think we're all feeling a lot more confident in that play. Now, McCullough probably hasn't played much of the five, so who knows? And that's what Bill said in his presser, was like, I mean, not only did we have three reserves in, we had Bobby and Joe in spots that they've – I mean, one of them was playing the three. Those guys don't practice at the three. Those guys don't run those plays. Those guys don't run those inbounds plays. So, you know, there's a lot more to it than just having a less talented group out there. We also had a group that had just never played together, never ran sets together, never, you know, played. I love how Bill started – has he always said this? Am I just now picking up on it? Bill always is now saying, like, at game point, you know, we had the ball at game point, or, you know, we never fall down at game point. He's like all into this game point thing. And I love it every time he says it. But, like, as he said, Bobby, Joe and Zach do not play at game point very often. So it's it sucks, but it goes back to what we originally started the episode with, like, we still almost won the game, and we'll never play in an atmosphere that rabid the rest of the year. And we'll never be on the final minutes of a game without three of our starters. So
unless an injury happens or something. But
and they still had a chance to win it in the last position or game point, as you said.
And dude, Jalen made a three to go up two with like 2 minutes left in overtime, and I mean, I can't believe we didn't win that game. That was the moment where I was like, it was the first time all game I was like, we're winning the game. And I don't remember what happened. I guess we probably got called for a foul and Johnson made free throws.
That's exactly what it was. It was Keyonte Johnson. They threw it into him at the elbow and Jalen came in, and maybe I'm biased or looking at it, but that was not a foul.
He came in the steal?
And ripped the ball and it went out of bounds. Yeah. It should have been out on us, but man,
I the attempt, but they'd called everything at that point. You got to know they're going to call that.
And he only had two fouls, so it's a risk worth taking, I think.
But. Yeah, absolutely. But I was going to ask you guys, and I said it all night on Spaces, I thought it was a great game of two, top 12, top 13 teams in a great atmosphere. And then it just wasn't fun for me to watch in overtime whatsoever. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but it felt like a foul fest on both ends. It was Jalen shooting free throws, which I thought some of those were kind of weak on K-State, and then it was them shooting free throws, and then it was us. So it felt like there was no possessions, no flow to the game. So I didn't know how you guys felt about that. Obviously, I thought when Grady and McCuller fouled out, I thought those were kind of soft calls. I don't know. One was like McCuller kind of bumped Keyonte, and I didn't think McCuller fouled anyone. KJ's was weak too. I forget what it was, but I remember thinking like, damn, down the stretch, it's a tight game of two really good teams. I wish the refs, like Ryan, you always talk about letting their guys play, not calling timeouts, and the refs letting them play too in a big game like that. So that kind of frustrated me in overtime.
That's been the one downside to Big 12 basketball this year is you even think back to the OU game where we beat them. That's how the final minutes of that game were too. It was just foul, 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 back and forth. And then, you know, I thought it was annoying that KU fans were doing exactly what K-State fans would do and, you know, talking about that guy being on the inbounds line, because guess what? Even if we get that ball and we get a pass in with 1 second or whatever, we're probably not going to score. But, I mean, we hadn't ran a good – so, like, I hate that we've done that because we did not get – I mean, we didn't get a bad whistle. I mean, we did get a bad whistle, but they got a bad whistle too. Like, the refs were just bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any clear – favoritism or whatever you want to call it. Either way, I think those refs just sucked. And but it does suck when you get a team. I mean, those teams were playing so hard. Like that, the end of regulation where everyone's just diving on the floor and Joe falls on the ball, but the ball slips out. It was like a fumble loose in a football game. And everyone's just diving on all over the floor to catch it. Like, I thought that was awesome, but it just sucked that you knew – in overtime, that game was just going to be ticky-tacky, and it was. But, hey, credit to K-State, because I made a joke on Twitter, like, this game's going to end on who gets called for the last foul. And they ran a ballsy play to run that lob, and, you know.
Great finish by Keyonte.
But that was an awesome pass and an awesome play. So,
yeah. One more thing on refs. Like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It just hammers my point home more that I'd much rather be mad at a no call, like the Texas Tech game where there were 20 fouls total in the whole game. Like, that's just such a more enjoyable brand of basketball.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Like, how many free throws were, or how many fouls were there last night? Like 50, 55,
49.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane. In a 45 minute basketball game, there were 49 fouls, and neither team was fouling at the end to extend the game.
Yeah, it all happened crazy.
It's not fun to watch, like you said, Braden, and it just drives me crazy that we have this conversation twice a week because it's so consistent that they're awful and they make the game boring to watch. I wish there was something we can do about it, but that's just kind of, I guess, all of sports as it is right now.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, maybe talk a little more about this game, and then we'll get on to some future Big 12 talk.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, we're back. So obviously disappointing loss. We've kind of covered everything there is to cover. Sucks, but as we've said, we fought our asses off, and you know, nothing about last night changed my perspective on this team at all. And shout out K-State, they're a good team. I said yesterday, I think today will be the day or last night's game will kind of determine if I'm fully bought in on them. And I mean, it's hard not to be. Those dudes are good. So speaking of that, Jerome Tang, we got to talk about this because it's been the talk of Twitter. Jerome Tang is like in a weird way having this like conflict with K-State fans because he can't stand that they chant FKU. He can't. I mean, he was fine with them storming the court, but he was like, that's it. That's the last time. Now we expect to win. He's talking about how we don't got to degrade our opponents to, you know, to dislike them. Like we can dislike someone without degrading them. And it's interesting because that is the complete opposite of what that fan base is. That fan base lives to hate KU. That game last night is what their entire season revolves around. So AB, I know you have some takes on this. Just what are your thoughts on the Tang saga with K-State fans?
First of all, I don't want to come off as a hater because he's fucking awesome at his job, it appears. But it looks like we just have Scott Drew 2.0 in the conference now. Like, we got two of them. Like, can you not just picture KU and K-State both playing in Des Moines the first weekend of the tournament? And K-State is a 3 seed. They lose to a 6 seed in the second round, and KU's about to take the court. Tang's not talking to the media. He's not talking to his team. He's outside the KU locker room telling everyone, good luck. Go Big 12.
Come on, boys.
And it's going to drive you nuts. But that just seems in it. I mean, he lived under Scott Drew for what? A decade and a half? Like, he was there forever. And yeah. I mean, he's awesome.
And that,
but like,
wasn't that thing at Baylor, joy, live with joy, yeah, or something like that.
Those, yeah, religious schools. But come on, man. Like, college sports are fun because of rivalries. Like, he looked like he was going to cry on national TV last night at the tip because K-State fans were in fuck KU. He legitimately had a tear in his eye. Get over it. Come on, man. Have some fun.
I can't explain to you how much it sucks to have a guy like Jerome Tang there now, because one, he's hard to dislike. He's truly such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like, dude, kind of be a prick. Like, talk your shit. You beat us. Like, I don't know. It's fine. Me and AB have always said we enjoy Sandstorm. We think the FKU stuff's hilarious, and it's electric when you're in that building and it happens. But we didn't know how good we had it when Bruce Weber was their coach.
Mm-hmm.
An all-time dork, a guy that Bill Self hated. And Bill Self doesn't outwardly hate people very often. I'm sure Bill Self hates a lot of people or dislikes a lot of people. But he outwardly, it was obvious, did not like Bruce Weber.
Yeah.
And he sucked at coaching. We thoroughly dominated him every – I mean, he was perfect. He was perfect. And now Tang, I don't know. B-Turn, where are you at? I mean, you've been obviously very complimentary of Tang, and I don't know how you wouldn't be. The guy should be coach of the year right now. But where do you stand on his whole kind of like, hey, let's be friends type deal?
Yeah, I know. And it's a thing that's been going on for a while, the FKU chant. And we've all agreed it's electric. It's fun. I don't know why they would stop. It's a rivalry. They hate us. And they don't, not even to be disrespectful to K-State, but they don't beat us much. We had won 14 of in basketball, obviously. We had won 14 of 15. We dominate, and we've obviously lost a few over the last 10 years in Manhattan, but it doesn't happen very often. KU is the winningest program in college basketball history. I don't know why people wouldn't storm the court, so I don't see how the chants would stop. I don't see how storming the floor would stop. I think he's a hell of a coach, and his energy and passion and stuff like that is great, but obviously you got to let the college kids have fun. And he just got there, so I feel like he doesn't understand maybe the magnitude of the rivalry. And he definitely doesn't know how much they hate us, I feel like. Because, like, K-State fans hate us so much that it's just insane to me. So, I don't know.
You got to think about, does Baylor – I mean, Baylor doesn't have, like, a rival like that.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm sure they don't love Texas or TCU, but that doesn't seem like a diehard historical –
Like, there's not a team that comes to mind that's like, oh, that's Baylor's rival. Like, right. There is with a lot of other teams.
I was thinking earlier, I don't know if you guys agree, the KU-K-State rivalry, like, it just kind of sucks. Like, it's not fun for me. It's just like everyone's just trying to flex.
Well, I've always said this
like,
about it.
KU-Mizzou is just pure hatred. Like, we fucking
hate
them.
I hate when KU fans do the whole, it's not a rivalry. Like, that's lame because we all love to make fun of K-State. I think it's different with K-State. Like, I dislike K-State. I think their fans are wildly annoying. But my thing with K-State has always been more of kind of like mocking them and making fun of them and just like, I don't know. Even when things go good for K-State, they turn around and lose by a billion in the Sugar Bowl. Or when they win the Big 12, they lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Like, K-State always finds a way to K-State themselves, and that's always been funny to me. Missouri is just a pure, like you said, V-turn. Like, I hate Missouri, and I hate the way their fans are on Twitter. Like, it's just a different – I don't even know how to explain it, but – yeah, the rivalry sucks because KU fans always pretend it's not a rivalry when it is. And it frankly will be a really fun rivalry if Tang is there and Leipold gets us going in football. Like, over the next 10 years, this rivalry could get very electric. And I hope we all just let it happen because it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's just like always like questioning the fuck KU chants or questioning the storm. And then not paying attention to football and making fun of everyone's crowd and all that shit. So I don't know. It kind of gets annoying to me. In K-State, it's crazy how much they hate us, I guess. But yeah, sometimes it's just a weird rivalry, I guess.
Can I say one quick thing on them? I got really triggered the other day. Brayden, it was when you tweeted that Texas should look at Tang, which was not filled with hate whatsoever. But the people responding, I recognized multiple Twitter accounts responding to you pissed off or saying it without even tagging you. Like, oh, these guys won't shut up about our coach leaving and he's not leaving. Those same people, I went through and I found tweets. I have the receipts in my phone. At least 50 tweets about Lance Leipold leaving to go to Nebraska or Wisconsin. Like, they spent their whole fall talking about Lance leaving. But now that they have a coach that gets brought up in coaching searches in the middle of January, it's the end of the world. And we're, you know, I don't even want to say I'll get in trouble, but like, we're the worst people on earth for bringing up legitimate possibilities. I saw people blaming Brayden for starting Tang to Texas rumors as if Matt Norlander, Gary Parrish, Andy Katz, Jeff Goodman, everyone that writes about basketball, everyone had them in the list. Everyone had Tang in that list.
I'm picturing Texas ADs like, wait a second, this Brayden Turner guy, B-Turner, he likes 23? Tang. Should we consider this Tang fella? Wow.
The guy's like probably the national coach of the year right now. And all I said was they should interview him or reach out to him. Obviously, Texas is a huge brand. They just lost their coach. Jerome Tang just – dude, I remember KU fans making fun of K-State this offseason. Like, how are they going to field a team? It was before they had Keontae Johnson, but – the fact that they're up there at the top of the Big 12 with the chance maybe to win the Big 12, and he's turned them around that quickly. Like, and people take leaps up with jobs. Like, people get promotions. People can at least listen to other job opportunities. I didn't see what was wrong with that. But the funniest part about that tweet was like 5 to 10 K-State fans started replying and quoting it saying, oh, why not Bill Self to Texas? Like, those are the same situations at all. A guy coming off a national championship mm-hmm. with a lifetime contract at the winningest program in the country is going to leave.
A job that he's said multiple times publicly is the best job in basketball, pro and or college.
And we deal with Bill Self leaving rumors all the time. We've dealt with NBA stuff for years. It's just part of it. Like, they are that sensitive. And they talked about Leipold leaving, all during the year, which we were scared, but we know that's part of it. Like, if Lance would have went to Nebraska or Wisconsin, we couldn't blame him.
And it's a good problem to have as a fan of a team. If your coach is good enough and you're like a smaller budget school, smaller brand school, if your coach is good enough to be rumored to be a job-filling opportunity to Texas, Kentucky, like big budget, big brand schools, that's a good problem to have. Like, obviously, it's a little scary. You don't want him to leave. But at the end of the day, they're doing it because he's killing it for you right now. So, maybe just take a chill pill and enjoy it and realize you've got, I don't know where he would rank in college basketball coaches, but Braden, you just said it. They didn't have a roster 6 months ago, and now they're going to be a top 10 team in 5 days. Like, he's insane.
If he goes to Texas, I'm the reason, boys.
Yep.
Dude. And, I mean, K-State – think about it. Huggins came, did this exact thing, put together an incredible roster. They had a great season, good season. Frank Martin had things rolling for like 3, 4, 5 years. Can't even remember. He leaves for another job. So I get it. Like, it will suck for K-State fans if Tang takes a job. I don't think he will next year. I think if he does it again, I think if he has another good year next year, then I don't see Tang being in Manhattan for the rest of his career by any means, but who knows? You're telling he seems me, like a guy that could fit there.
Yeah. You're telling me you're a big brand like Texas and you're not going to reach out to a national coach of the year candidate or other bigger programs. Like, what does it hurt to reach out to a coach or for a coach to listen? That's basically all I was tweeting about. And people went crazy. Like, we were scared. KU fans are scared.
No, KU we're basketball. Just pointing out the obvious, brother. That's all we're doing.
All right.
They drive me nuts.
Let's take one final break, and then we'll talk about the next 6 games on the schedule, because, boy, are they terrifying.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
All right. The next 6 games on the Kansas basketball schedule, boys, are as follows. At home, Saturday against number 14 TCU, a bad matchup for us. I think we all know that. Monday, the following Monday, we play at Baylor. Big Monday, a team that's starting to get it going again, starting to put it together. That Saturday, we then go to Kentucky, a team that has stunk, but again, put together 2 decent performances their last 2 games and seem to have found a group that's kind of working for them. Then K-State comes to Allen Fieldhouse, a top 10 team probably at that point, top 15. Then we go to Hilton, maybe the second hardest place we'll play all year. And then Texas comes to Allen Fieldhouse for Big Monday, which again, I think is a tough matchup for us. So
you can keep going too. And we got 2 road games with the schools that have almost beat us at home. So
I know. Yeah.
It's wagon boys.
So here's my thing. Here's my question to you guys. We've got six games, and I don't know. The Kentucky game's weird because it doesn't mean anything. As we saw last year, the game means absolutely nothing. But six games coming up, if you had to bet money on it, and I set the over-under at 3 wins, 3.5 wins, I guess, are you taking the over or the under?
How many games? Six?
Six.
I got my answer if you're ready for it.
Go ahead.
I'll go over. I mean, you got 3 games at Allen. Like, I know they're tough matchups. I get it, but
it's Allen.
At the end of the day, it's Allen. So, like, I'm not going to pick them to lose there.
McFarland.
And that, yeah. Jayhawk Jeopardy 3 coming soon. And then, like, they'll win a road game. I don't know if it's Kentucky or Baylor. I don't think it'll be Hilton. They're pretty damn good. But it's 11 a.m. game, so it could be a sleepy environment. I don't know. Like, I'm trusting they're going to win at home and sneak 1 of 3 out on the road and go 4-2. It'd be sick if they lost to Kentucky and went 5-1 in the others and the conference be wrapped up by mid-February. But
that's what I was going to say. What's the best case? I think obviously the best case scenario, if you're going to lose 2 games, is, I mean, Kentucky's got to be one of these losses if you're going to lose 2 or 3 games. If you drop 3 of those 5 Big 12 games, you know, that means you lost 2 road games and a home game. So I don't know. I want to take the over 2 just because, you know, I know TCU is a bad matchup, and I am terrified for that game. I'm very interested to see what the line is. AB, if you can quickly pull up Ken Palm's prediction, I'd love to see it. But even Texas, dude, we took them to overtime last year. They're athletic, they're long, they're big. They scare me a little bit, even though they've been wildly inconsistent and they don't have their head coach. So, like, if we were going to drop a home game, TCU or Texas, if I had to circle 2 teams on our schedule, I think those would be the 2 teams that I'm most scared of winning at home against, just due to strictly matchups. I don't know. B-Turn, how do you feel?
Yeah, AB obviously talked about Allen, which I guess the games have been super close at home. Big 12 play, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. We've won all 3 by a combined 8 points. Which I guess you could look at that as maybe we're due to lose one, or you can keep looking at it as we always find a way to win. We could be down 10 with 5 minutes left and find a way to win. So I would take over 3.5 because, like AB said, you would expect to go 3-0 at home no matter who you play. But, yeah, I don't know how you guys feel, but every year we talk about – and KU fans hate hearing this because they expect to go 40-0. They don't expect to lose any games. So – was last night a good loss for this team after winning so many tight games, winning so many like one possession games to finally drop one and maybe refocus and with a tough stretch coming up? Obviously, you want to win. You want to beat your rival. Could have been 6-0 in the league, but we also could have lost like 1 or 2 others. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's not, I mean, you'd rather lose this one. You'd rather lose this one than lose Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, because this one – If we knew what K-State was going to be at the beginning of the year, this is one you circle as a very losable game. It's like that and Hilton and at Texas and at Baylor. Like, those are games that you can live with if you lose. You got to win the Oklahoma State's at home, the Oklahoma's at home. But it does suck because if we win that game, we're 6-0 and
with 12
we're
left.
Sitting pretty. We're sitting pretty. So
I got your line if you're ready for it.
I am ready.
Kansas basketball Jayhawks, 9-point favorites against TCU.
Oh, my God.
We are so due for a blowout win at home, though.
We are
so due.
I just
But
I
against,
saw...
like, Eddie Lampkin, I don't see it.
Has he been that good this year?
I haven't watched TCU
humongous
once.
And we start a 6'5 center.
Also,
we keep
yeah.
saying that. KJ Adams is an All-American in my mind. He's so good. I don't care if he's undersized.
I mean, I would take – I saw Iowa State +7 or +8 at Allen. I took Iowa State. They've been hot. They've been really good. They took us down to the wire. I would take TCU +9. They have a really good team. Absolutely. I think they lost tonight.
Yeah, they were getting
in Morgantown, but
that's a big loss.
I mean, TCU obviously has one of the better players in the conference. They played us really well last year. I don't know how much that'll play a factor into this, but yeah, give me the way KU's playing so many tight games, which I guess that could change, and AB's theory could be right on a blowout coming soon, which should happen at some point, but I think right now
you want to know what the blowout's going to be. Kansas State at Allen Fieldhouse, boys. Like, come on, we are due for just a good old fashioned shit pumping in Allen Fieldhouse, where we start off on like a 19-4 run, and they call two timeouts, and it's just crazy in there. But
we can talk more about this game as it gets closer and everything. But I hope for Jerome Tang's sake. the KU student section starts doing a fuck K-State chant, maybe to like the hum or something, just to really piss him off and throw him off and see how it goes.
He's crying on the sideline.
He almost threw up last night, dude. It was hilarious to watch.
It's going to be so hard to get around to disliking Jerome Tang. I don't even know how to do it. I mean, I think he's cheesy. I think he's a little corny.
I didn't expect Jerome Tang hate from the boys tonight.
That's the thing. It's not hate. It's more like it's kind of just making fun of your kind of corny, cheesy dad or your cheesy uncle. He's just like there he goes again, being corny and talking about, I don't know.
Do you think he'll let his team watch the intro video before the game at Allen?
I think so, because when Scott Drew did that, Baylor went a full decade with even competing inside Allen Fieldhouse. Like, he sparked a fire under Bill Self that only Bruce Weber's lit. So, fun stuff. Jerome Tang, good guy.
Great coach.
I got to find ways to take jabs at him the best I can. Same with Dennis Gates at Missouri. I don't dislike that guy either. We got problems. So,
we got problems.
All right. I had one more thought here, and I'm blanking on it. I guess what I want to know is, where are we at confidence level on this team winning the Big 12? Because I'm still very, very confident.
Yeah, 12. Me too. Especially, I think we talked a week or so ago about at least sharing it, because you have Allen. But, man, just thinking about that stretch, but then you think about it like, so many of the other top teams in the league are going to have to go through similar stretches. They got to go to Hilton. They got to come to Allen. They got to go to Bramlage. Got to go to Lubbock. I think Baylor's waking up. I think they're going to be a really good team by the end of the year. We still got to play them twice, which is kind of scary. But I still feel really good, at least sharing it. The league's going to beat up on each other. I'm trying to think what would win the league. We're 5-1 with 12 to go. Maybe
4-2-4.
Yeah.
Win an outright, I think.
A tie, maybe an outright. I think
it's an outright. Well, think about it. Like, there's no other team in the conference that they can go into every single road game and feel confident that they're going to win, and also know that they're pretty much guaranteed a home win.
That's the thing. Like,
K-State's going to lose at home at some point.
All of the top five teams besides Iowa State still have to come to Allen Fieldhouse. Like, all our Allen Fieldhouse games have been lower level Big 12 teams so far. So other than
I'm just sitting here thinking how we checked off Lubbock and Morgantown, and we could have checked off Bramlage very easily.
We would have been like, what would we have moved to? I think we're minus one something right now to win the conference, which seems crazy.
Let me check it.
If we win last night, I think we're
I don't want to take away much from K-State, because Keontae was great, but man, it took a lot to beat us last night. Just obviously sitting back and thinking about it, couldn't even get shots up late, couldn't even run an offense. You have three starters foul out. You missed like the first six free throws of the second half, which really pissed me off. So, and then Kevin McCullough having the worst game of maybe of his life, like since
literally
he was like five years old.
The three that he missed from the wing where he overshot the rim and it hit the other side of the backboard was one of the craziest things. And he was so wide open.
He has some of the all-time clinks. Like, he's had some corner shots this year that hit the side of the backboard. Like, when he's on, he's on. When he's off. But, hey, the guy's made so many big plays and won us a couple games this year. So,
oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
Why, still all in on the McCullough train.
I feel great, but I think we talked to Landon Lucas last week and about – I think we talked about this exact scenario that happened last night about KJ fouling out and then who steps up. So KJ's going to, like, bigs, obviously they just pause on this, but they bang down low. And there's just going to be a game where KJ picks up two fouls in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. And then he sits out for the rest of the first half, and can Zuby and Zach come in for 5 minutes and be able to tie their own shoes?
Yeah. It's a terrifying thought, but
what happened
a lot
to
of a lot of time to still get this figured out. I mean, think about this team last year. Remy wasn't even in getting minutes. Like, things can be figured out.
It is figured out.
So, God, yeah. I don't know. I don't have much more, boys. I'm excited for the Big 12 season. I think it's going to be absolutely insane, as we've already seen. Every night's just a freaking battle, dude. Jalen played 45 minutes and was the only offensive option for the final 20 of the game.
What would you have said before the game if I was talking to Skinny about this last night? What would you have said before the game if I told you Jalen had 38 and Marquise Noel had 4 or 6 or whatever?
I would have said we won 90-60. Like, it would have been Missouri type blowout. Like, Missouri, like, God, man, I can't believe we wasted. I feel bad for Jalen, because that's a game, like, you think about that. That's an Elijah Johnson and Hilton game. That's a Ochai in K-State last year type game. That's a Sharon and Bramlage type game. Yeah, but we lost, but that's kind of the thing,
right?
We'll still talk about this Jalen performance, but it would have been one where we'd be tweeting from the Ain't No Seats pod 5 years from now, being like, throwback to Jalen Wilson, 38 point. We'll never talk about that performance probably really ever again, other than just casually when KU plays K-State. But
can I get one note on him really quick before we sign off? Mm-hmm. I couldn't find Big 12 odds on DraftKings right now, but I did look at Player of the Year odds. Edie's going to win it if he stays healthy / doesn't have a complete mental breakdown. He's like minus 350 to win that thing. Jalen's a pretty distant second between everyone else, though. So all I'm saying is, if a big-ass dude in Edie just rolls an ankle and misses 3 weeks, that opens a door for Jalen. And we've talked before, Jalen would be a national champion, a first-team All-American, a Big 12 Player of the Year, a National Player of the Year.
Two-time
maybe another
champion.
Final Four. Yeah, like, who knows what happens to end this season, but like, it's back-to-back years, we've kind of had a All-American, probably unanimous All-American, kind of come out of nowhere in terms of what we thought his ceiling was going for the year.
It's what I've said. I think me and B-Turn, and I mean, all of us have nailed this. It's like, if you're on the line of deciding whether to go pro or not, freaking stay in school, because it will pay off. Like, Jalen Wilson, I'll be honest, like, do I see him having a huge NBA career? Not really. I think it's, I don't know what his role is in the NBA, but he's been so good in college now that somebody will look at him in the late first round or early second round, and he's going to be a millionaire because of that. Like, all because he came back to school instead of going the route of, like, and I mean, Malik Newman should have probably rode the wave and gone. It was probably fine that he did. But then you think about, if Malik Newman comes back and has an All-American season, does he at least get one contract? I don't know. It's like those guys that it just always works out for the guys that come back. And I'm so happy that Jalen said, I want to be Ochai Agbaji. And he has been. Like, it's awesome. So I hope people, especially with NIL, I think it'll happen more and more. But Grady Dick, sophomore year? ?
Man, he.
Just kidding. Hope not.
Grady was he was great last game, but the other Big 12 games kind of been a struggle for him. A lot of teams just face guarding him. They're trying to get him going.
Yeah.
They're trying to get him going back door and things like that, and get him more open looks. But he still had some open looks last night where it felt like, man, there was like 3 or 4 where he was open where he could have hit a dagger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I couldn't believe how many open shots Iowa State let him get. That was a weird – I don't know what was happening with that, but that's not going to happen in Hilton, I would imagine. So
that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. Let's go get 5-1. 5-1 with one loss at Kentucky.
Fuck it, Ryan.
12's over. We're the number one overall seed. Let's do it. Why not?
Win all 6. No.
Or lose by 40 again to Kentucky, and then Bill kicks their ass in practice, and they just win another title.
Kentucky can hang their banner, their midseason banner, like they did last year, and then they can lose to a,
15.
They'll probably be in like the 8-9 game, so they can lose to a 9 seed.
8-9 of the NIT.
Okay, I have one more serious note, and I meant to bring this up earlier. Every single year, it feels like KU has a 3-4 game stretch where the fan base fully melts down. my question to you is, I mean, even 2008, we lost, like, you know, we had that rough stretch where fans were irate. We lose at Oklahoma State. We lose at Texas. We lose at K-State, all in a span of like a month.
Only lost three games all year.
Do you see this team having a stretch where they lose 3 of 5, 3 of 4? Or do you think this team is good enough defensively, good enough, just experienced enough to maybe avoid that? Or is this the stretch coming up where that potentially happens? Because if I were going to pick a stretch, it's this one right here where we could be talking in 2 weeks and our fan base is up in flames.
Yeah, I just think with how big of a monster this conference is and how tight our games have been, I could see it, because I think they're all going to be one single digit possession or single digit games, I guess, where they're down, they're down five or up five late, and they could swing either way, just one big run. So I could see it for sure. And I could see it with a lot of teams in the league doing that.
Yep.
Oh, right. Was I supposed to speak there?
I thought,
it was
to speak into the mic.
I don't know. But, I mean, if it's going to happen, it's probably now. If it's some other time, then the fan base will probably rightfully have a reason to be pissed off. But at the end of the day, we've seen it. We see it almost every year. Like, national championships and Final Fours aren't won in January and February. And I think even if you lose some of these games coming up, only positives really come out of it until you lose too many to drop down to like a seed line where you can't play in Kansas City for the second weekend. So as long as we get KC week for the second weekend, I really don't care too much on a game to game as far as losing him. But
all right, boys, I guess it was a fun episode. Like we said, the loss could have hurt more. We played good. And we played fine for that type of environment. Still love this team, fully believe in this team. Oh, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next six games. It's going to really give us a good outlook on where we will be in March, I think. So that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back sometime next week. Rock chalk.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.